You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Happiness Patrol, episode number 138. And we are talking about this latest episode, In the Forest of the Night. And heck yeah. Oh, wow, it's green. You know why,
it's
Nancy?
A green episode.
You know why it's
because,
green?
Because the Happiness Patrol starts now.
Because.
Because the Happiness Patrol starts now.
Chaz.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to the Happiness Patrol, Chaz. How you doing?
Thank you. Well, not fully awake, but I'm here.
What are you drinking?
Water.
Water? Oh, okay. You got your pants on?
Gotta stay hydrated.
You're doing this with pants on, right?
Oh, all right. I'll be right back.
Hey, Michelle, while he's getting his pants, Michelle, what's going on in Austin?
Yeah, if only I had a nickel for every time I heard that. I'd have a nickel.
You'd have a nickel.
Yeah. Hi, Lewis. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying very hard to do good. I can't really tell. I got to play last night, but with my band, but I can't really tell now if I'm still drunk or hungover or somewhere in between. So we'll find out later on the Happiness Patrol. That's for sure. So. But you're good. You didn't do any drinking last night. Did you go to any Halloween parties?
No, I didn't go to any Halloween parties, mostly because there weren't any Halloween parties last night.
Whoa.
The Halloween parties are still in the future for me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's I cool. saw Rocky Horror on stage last
night.
Yeah,
that sounds
you
good.
Did? Wow. It's
just a jump to the left.
Oh.
And a step to the right.
It was great.
I just want to say that I am the time-warping, frustrated drama student that Simon Pegg complained about on that episode of Spaced, and I don't care who knows it.
Wow.
Do not care who knows it.
It's okay. We've all got our guilty secrets in the past. So, and continuing in the present. And speaking of guilty pleasures, hello, Miss Nancy.
Hello.
How is...
Oh, I think I'm okay. I did have a cold this past week, but...
Really?
I'm getting over it. I'm pretty much over it. I should be fine.
For Elihu?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
It should be all gone by then.
Yeah. We should try to say something about... Concrud, and the thing that we're going to say about Concrud is don't get it. Wash your hands, kids.
Wash your hands.
Hand sanitizer regularly, just because, not because people are gross, but just because there's lots of people,
you know, and you never know where they
get your flu shots. Get your flu shot
I
now.
I should totally get a flu shot before I leave.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll work.
Get your flu shot and bring
plenty
a neti
of vitamin
pot
C.
Bring some emergency and a neti pot.
Yeah,
and you'll be good.
Yeah,
and I know you cosplayers are staying up late and working on your costumes, but do take time to actually sleep.
Yep.
Getting the amount of sleep you get, it directly impacts your ability to stay healthy.
That's true.
That's good.
Also, if you're very excited to meet the Happiness Patrol in person, but have Ebola, please
stay home.
We'll send you a photo.
Well, we just won't shake your hand. It'll be fine.
Somebody did point out that this whole Ebola thing is going to make people really paranoid when they get the flu.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
So yes, is it
well? Thankfully, it's Long Island Who and not Brooklyn Who.
Yeah, Brooklyn Who. Well, you're coming from Texas.
I'm coming from Austin. It's up in Dallas. That's like 3 hours away.
All right.
Texas is pretty fucking big.
Yeah, it is.
I think I have a layover in Dallas, though. So, surgical masks, ahoy.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a really interesting thing that you say about the surgical mask, because if you're coming from, like, far away and you have a big-time flight, you know, like more than 3 hours, that kind of thing, I firmly believe in the wearing of surgical masks.
Simply
because,
the airplane?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Because you've got recycled air going through there, and coming back from Galley, I did usually do like a red eye flight from LAX to Orlando, and I always sleep. You know, once I get on the plane, I put that mask on, and I'm able to sleep with like some headphones on and just the mask on, and I'm good to go.
You can order if you have good lead, if you have enough lead time, you can order some really adorable masks.
That's true. Yeah, you can get Hello Kitty mask, and remember, Hello Kitty is not a cat.
That's right.
Isn't that a shame?
That's right.
I don't know what the fuck she is. That's freaking me out.
Friend and a daughter and a roller skater. No, she's a freaking cat. Just
yeah. Hello.
She's anthropomorphic. Yeah. Do it.
We are only, as we record this, we are only a week and a half away from L.I. Who, where you will see fantastic things like a full-size TARDIS and the guy who played Jamie and another guy who played the Doctor and Happiness Patrol. Yay, everyone!
Two guys who played the Doctor.
Yeah, two guys who played the Doctor. And Nicola Bryant.
And some gals who pretended to be American, or at least one of them did. So, yeah. Ooh. So, yeah, we're going to be at L.I. Who, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Hope you guys listen to our special edition of the Happiness Patrol that we just put out with an interview with Ken Deep. The man behind
the
scenes.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
The man behind the scenes at L.I. Who. We really had a good time recording that, didn't we, Nancy? I really enjoyed it.
I can totally see why Podshock used to go 2 hours, because talking with Ken just flies by.
It certainly does.
Time just flies.
So if you are in the Long Island area of Ronkonkoma, near the Islip Airport, and in fact, in the hotel that's named Clarion. Clarion? Mm-hmm. Clarion. The Clarion.
Clarion Ronkonkoma.
Clarion Ronkonkoma.
We've all gotten really good at saying Ronkonkoma.
It sounds
I know,
like
right?
We're trying to, like, you know. But if you're in the area, you're going to see Doctor Who, the L.I. Who 2 convention is just going to be fantastic. We're going to be there. We're all going to be there. We're going to be on stage Friday night on the main stage B, and it is going to be wonderful because we're going to be interviewing the second Doctor companions. Zoe will be there, and I shouldn't say Zoe. I should say Wendy Padbury. Miss Wendy Padbury will be there. Mr. Fraser Hines will be there, and of course, my favorite, the lovely
Deborah Watling.
Yes, Deborah Watley will be there. So I'm excited. We're gonna have a good time there. So if you're there, come on out. It'll be great. It'll be fun. So let's get right on into it, shall we? In the Forest of the Night. This one to me was a fun one. It was nice and green. And like I said, I've stated before, I love it when the TARDIS lands in a forest. And this one, you didn't even see the TARDIS land. It just appears, you know, because you start with a little girl and everything. And I like the kids in this. I really thought it was a good, solid story. It was more fanciful than we've seen in a little bit. The last really fanciful story like this, with a conclusion that was this far out and far fetched. Which one was it, Nancy?
Kill the Moon?
Kill the Moon. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess that's the last fanciful one. Yeah.
Or Robot of Sherwood. I mean,
that was pretty fanciful.
The moon didn't hatch and then like have a creature that laid another moon. That's pretty fucking fanciful right there.
Yeah. I mean, just on the principles of mass.
Yeah. It was very fairy tale. We had a great fairy tale story here. And if you look at it in that way, I don't think you have too terribly much criticism to go with, because it was nicely told and everything. And apparently,
you haven't been introduced to fandom.
I'm trying to keep it happy because, you know, we were just
that is our shtick.
That's our shtick, man. The crappiness
this whole
patrol.
Podcast, I'm taken back to, you know, my days in creative writing in college when, you know, you had to review somebody else's poetry,
uh-huh.
and it always. Well, I liked it, but,
and then but.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
What exactly did you like about it again? Anyway, this one was fun. I liked the kids. The kids were not overly annoying. And well, unless, you know, you're the doctor, and then, like, you know, it might have been kind of rough, but it was nice. I like seeing Danny, I like seeing Clara, and I like seeing Clara and Danny's little relationship sort of thing going on here, and we had a continuation of that. Not too terribly, you know, crazy. It didn't fill the entire episode, but it was okay. It was just, I think it was a good amount for that. So,
well, and we kind of had a resolution to the whole, you know, lying to the doctor, lying to Danny thing.
Right. She, you know,
that little plot line.
Danny's been saying all along, just tell me the truth, Clara. I don't care what the truth is. You know, obviously he doesn't, because, you know, she's flying away with a 2,000-year-old Time Lord in a fucking space box.
Right.
So what the hell, you know? he's a pretty cool, I think he'd be a keeper, you know? If he can deal with that, I think he's a keeper. So
I'm super relieved that he's just like, look, just don't lie to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Beyond,
and I just appreciate that. Like, there doesn't need to be tension between them. But she, like many human beings, invents a bunch of stressors that don't really exist.
And, right. and especially like, oh, as her lying is comically bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, anywho,
and unnecessary. And unnecessary.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So, anyway, Nancy, you got to tell us how many times did you get to watch it?
Once.
What'd you like? Tell me what you like.
Well, I did like the high concept. I liked the concept that this forest grew overnight. And, you know, what is this? And, you know, I like that everybody was kind of, you know, wandering around in forests of London. And I thought it was kind of cool seeing, you know, like Knightsbridge Station popping up out of a clump of trees. So that was kind of cool. I like Danny. I like the way he was... you know, leading the kids around, and he really was, you know, being Mr. Military Guy, and it was a good thing that he was.
Uh-huh. He was being the scout leader. That was nice.
Yeah, he was. He was totally being the scout leader.
Uh-huh.
And I like the bit about, you know, that Clara didn't want to be the last human.
The last of her kind. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was an interesting concept. But on the other hand, I thought the resolution was kind of weak. I kind of wonder if maybe this was a leftover Sarah Jane script, because it had more of a Sarah Jane Adventures kind of feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, overall, it just kind of left me meh, you know. It was there. It exists. It didn't excite me.
Wow.
It had a few moments that I liked, but it's definitely not as good as the last couple.
Oh my goodness. So so you're judging it from the last couple?
No, it was sad that it came after those two, because it was kind of a letdown. I think actually it may have been better if this had come before. Uh-huh. I don't know, but then it would have been right after Kill the Moon, which was ugh. So two dodgy science episodes in a row would have been crap.
dodgy science.
I think this is kind of a callback to the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
Because there's kids.
Well, it's all about a sentience that expresses itself through trees and nature.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, the Doctor, the Witch, and the Wardrobe happened on another planet, and I think that this is the similar sort of sentience or process, except on Earth.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What do you think about that, Nancy?
I don't know. Both of those episodes seem kind of meh to me anyway. So,
okay. So we'll get this right. So you fucking hated it, and you're not going to watch Doctor Who anymore.
No, I didn't hate it. I just, it left me, it didn't excite me. It didn't anger me. It was just kind of.
Come on, you're a Whovian. You only see things in black and white. You either loved it or you hated it. Come on. What's it going to be, girl? What's it going to be?
Oh, wow. Jeez, you're putting me on the spot.
No, I'm teasing you, of course.
I'd say, okay, in a out of 10, I'd give it maybe a 6.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
A little better.
A little bit on the better side of meh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The upper end of the meh scale.
The upper end of the meh scale. What?
But don't forget to put the little trademark symbol at the end of the meh scale.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that you would really like this one because you have kids of your own and you like kids.
Yeah, I thought the kid bits were okay. You know, uh-huh. I like the kid bits.
Now, which one of the kids stood out for you the most?
Oh, the bad boys. They ring true for me.
The bad boys?
The bad boys. The boys who were like, you know, teasing each other. And, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, that rang a bell.
One in the baseball hat who didn't want to be called a team.
Right.
And then
right.
the one with the nut allergy and the darkness phobia and the anger issues.
Yeah, those bits I did like. I liked all the kid interactions. Mm-hmm. Those were pretty cool.
It seemed like, you know, kind of a Sarah Jane script, but it also seemed like one of the better Sarah Jane episodes.
Yeah, you know what? If this had been a Sarah Jane episode, I probably would have been loving it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would have said, hey, that's a really great Sarah Jane script.
So tell me about this. So what about it that would make it a great Sarah Jane story, but not so great a Doctor Who story? What is your connotation?
That is a very good point. It's a very subjective feeling. It's not something I can put down into words. It's just, you know, the Sarah Jane doesn't have the Doctor's powers. So one expects her to figure out the resolution just by, you know, using ordinary, fairly exceptional human smarts.
Right.
And also
she doesn't have the Doctor's kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Towards people. And I think putting Sarah Jane in the slotting her into the place of the Doctor wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't just be her saying this similar dialogue. She would have reacted differently.
Yeah.
To everything.
She would have. Yeah, and the ending would have been different, obviously. But I think it would have been a fine Sarah Jane script. It's kind of a meh Doctor Who script.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, I just looked up the writer, and this did ring a bell. He is a noted children's author.
Oh, surprise, surprise. There you have
it.
And that explains it.
Yeah, and he actually wrote a couple of sequels to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And. Which is a film I have seen many, 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 uh-huh. many, many, many times because that was the only film that my son watched when he was two.
Nice.
And he also wrote the opening ceremony for the Summer Olympics in 2012.
Okay.
Which totally makes sense.
It makes so much sense now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, you know, from that aspect, I think it was a cool story. I just don't know if it was a good Doctor Who story.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that is my final decision.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, man, I loved that little girl.
Maeve.
Ruby.
Maeve.
Ruby.
Oh, Ruby.
I liked Ruby a lot. She was fun.
Ruby clearly like related to Drax the Destroyer from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Find X. It's right there.
It's right there. It's not lost.
It's not lost at all. She was cute. You know, and it's funny because all the kids in this were very cute. They were. And you saw a lot of the goodness come out of them. You know, they're mm-hmm. the better part of the kids come out when they were in this mm-hmm. sort of situation. And you know, I give that to the Doctor and of course Danny Pink. You know, and his leadership and how well he is with the kids. And what was it that Clara was saying that she thought it was a little sexy. Are attractive that she he's able to you know get the kids to behave and be good for him, so
and puts them as a first priority.
Right. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. So
I think personally, my favorite line of the whole thing was when the kid with the nut allergy said this is getting very stressful, and when I am stressed, I forget my anger management.
Oh, that was good, too. Yes, that was a great line. There were some great lines.
Yeah, it's a really great line. It's this kid who clearly has some problems, and I have heard kids say things vaguely similar but not exactly the same, and it's usually a sign that the person is really trying. I don't know. I liked that he showed some self-awareness and yeah. concern.
Well, one assumes that the reason he has that self-awareness is because these are terms he's heard in therapy or in a parent-teacher conference or something.
Right.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of that with the whole school thing, you know, the disruptive influence.
Uh-huh. And, right.
You know, these are all terms I know I have heard in parent-teacher conferences.
Well, do you think that Doctor Who is going back to a more of a kid-friendly type sort of thing?
I think so. And, you know, maybe that's to balance out the fact that you've got an older doctor.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's
odd because, like, you know, some of these episodes lately have been very violent. And you've seen some stuff that's just like, whoa, that's kind of really spooky for kids, mm-hmm. you know, that would mm-hmm. really leave an indelible mark. So, but then you see a story like this where it's like, you know, super kid friendly. It looks like, you know, and it plays out like one of those young adult books.
This particular episode is about, you know, not discounting what kids say just because they're kids. And I think that you got to work a little harder to scare kids now.
You think so? Yeah.
That's just my opinion. And yes, the kids are going to be scared, and kids are going there are going to be kids who will probably have nightmares because of things like that. But it's not going to scar them for life. I mean, we say scarred for life, but it's not. I think it's important to respect your audience, not only even when your audience is kid, but especially when your audience is kids.
Yeah, that's true. So you think, here's what I would really like. I would really love to have a young kid about the age of those kids on the podcast mm-hmm. to tell me what they thought about the show. Okay, Mr. Chaz M., what did you think about In the Forest of the Night?
Well, many things, actually. This is one of those, my initial reaction is this. This is one of those episodes that the older fans are going to hate, and the kids who are out watching this show are going to remember for decades. This has been borne out to some extent in the early reactions that I've seen on Facebook, which is that mom says, I wasn't too crazy about that one. And the kids, but my daughter was enchanted. And I can see why, of course. Not only are there child actors in there, but also it's a whimsical story. And yet, I think one with a very important message. I loved the cinematography in particular.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the rare episodes that we've had who directed by a woman. And I think it's that much more lyrical as a result of it.
Ooh,
I did actually, speaking of the direction, I did really like the scenes inside the TARDIS.
Yes.
When it was moving. That was beautiful.
That
was
fantastic.
Yeah, I would love to see that on a big
much
screen.
Much better sense of that set. Yeah. Of right. That magnificent set.
Yeah, they certainly used the set very effectively this time.
Yes.
So that it was really nice, especially when having all those kids in there. And what do? They do what kids always do. As soon as they come into a place, they start touching things.
Right.
And what did the doctor do? Freak out. Oh, don't touch that.
Which is great. I thought there was a good analogy there between, because that's exactly what Danny spent a lot of time doing while they were in the museum.
Uh-huh.
Was, you know, making mm-hmm. sure they didn't break anything. And then they move into the TARDIS and they're still not allowed to touch anything. frustrating. The kids were largely fine. I thought, you know, the performances were a bit variable, but I liked them fine. And there was a good variety of kids. I thought there was a sort of a editorial commentary on the nature of modern children with the kid who's darkness phobic. Was that it? I'm allowed a torch. I'm darkness phobic.
I'm darkness phobic.
That's afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
And, it seems like that was an entire class of special needs kids, but because they also, the same kid who was darkness phobic also had a nut allergy.
Right.
I liked that. I thought it was struck a very true note that the kids were not. They were nonplussed by the whole TARDIS and all that. You know, they were like, yesterday there was a forest. Or last night there was no forest. Today there's a forest. Why should I be amazed by this? I liked that a lot. This just keeps telling me that they really need to get Terry Gilliam in to direct an episode of Doctor Who, because he knows how to wring performances out of child actors, man. But I'm a little, the only thing I'm a little perturbed about is the incredibly casual attitude that we now have towards discovering the TARDIS, going inside it, you know, meeting the Doctor, explaining that he's an alien, all that sort of stuff. No more Dr. John Smith, you know, hiding very much. No attempt to keep that spaceship a mystery. And I kind of missed that a little bit, but for the purposes of the story, I wasn't bothered by it. I thought the environmental message was fantastic and really beautifully realized. I mean, each new set of dangers was well thought out. The only other thing that bothered me was that even though this is supposed to take place very early in the morning in London, how many adults did we see in this episode?
Like four maybe. Four. Something like that.
Not counting the Doctor. The other thing was that Clara keeps sort of wibbly wobbling between, oh, I still want to go with the Doctor. Come on, let's have adventures. And, oh, you know, Danny keeps being the anchor there and saying, nope, it's the kids are the priority here.
Right.
And she keeps going, oh, right. Yes. Yes. You're right. No.
Her worlds are colliding in such a way.
Her worlds are colliding.
And I don't think she can handle it. You know, she's trying to, but it's the conflict that is killing her. You know, she does. She's got this dichotomy going on, and they played it very well. I thought Jenna Coleman played this very nicely this time. But it was nice because she saw, like, you know, the responsible Danny with the kids, and that was a big turn on for her. You know, she liked that. You know, that was an attraction.
Yeah, I could hear her ovaries in that scene for sure.
Clink, 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 clink.
Like a goddamn pinball machine. So, did you see any seeds of doom in this particular one?
Well, there was no megalomaniac that was hoping. I was wondering where Harrison Chase would be in this story. If he hadn't been dead. Because he would have just been like, ah.
Now, I particularly enjoyed the reaction, the typical reaction of the authorities. Let's burn pathways and let's do this. You know, and that brings up, you know, of course, the Doctor's reaction is like, what are you doing? You know, you always try to like destroy things. You know, do you think the message was a bit heavy-handed in this one, or do you think it was balanced?
Personally, I thought it was just fine. We could frankly use a little bit more moralizing in Doctor Who, in my opinion, because some of the classic Pertwee years, for example, were pretty heavy-handed on that.
Yes.
This I thought struck a nice tone, and I do want to mention that I think I said this last week that we're finally, with Flatline, we finally got the Doctor that we're going to be getting. This is Capaldi's Doctor. That he's now got that nice balance of you know, he's starting to like humans again. He's starting to he's not just referring to them as bags of meat anymore. He's actually at least the kids anyway. He seems to have some regard for, I think we're seeing that character now mellowed out at least as much as he's going to anyway. He's still, mm-hmm. you know, rough. He's still sharp. He's still got sharp bits. But but I think we're seeing a much more balanced portrayal now, and it's really, really enjoyable. Every time he opens his mouth, every time he flicks those eyebrows, it's just compelling television. It's weird.
So you enjoyed this episode?
Yes. Yeah. The I'm not one of those. I think there are going to be some fans who are going to think that this is this year's Love and Monsters.
No, but Kill the Moon was Love and Monsters.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Michelle.
Yes.
How many times did you get to see this one?
I have only seen it once, but I will probably watch it again this coming week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what'd you think? What was your first impression of it? I mean,
I quite enjoyed it. I think it's a really charming, wonderful idea. I remember back in Invasion of the Dinosaurs, I really wished they had spent more time in, you know, a deserted London full of crazy prehistoric creatures. I think that it was underutilized in that Pertwee story. And the fact that this amazing, incredible thing has happened in London, and London is essentially deserted because everybody is staying in their homes. I really enjoy whimsy, and this is a very whimsical concept.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fun.
Who are your favorite characters?
All the named kids.
Yeah.
There were a number of unnamed kids who didn't have lines. I think this is the first time we've had an episode with kids and the phrase "I'm bored" was not spoken in quite.
Yeah, where was Courtney? Was Courtney? Yeah,
well, these were Courtney, younger kids. Well,
yeah, these were younger kids.
Yeah.
They were not in the same grade. And Courtney is in another grade, and so all those kids were of a similar age. They're all in the same grade.
Actually, I guess her part was taken by Ruby, who is played, who, as it turns out, is played by the voice of Pega Pig, which you know,
I don't know it's
what that is. Another show. Yeah. The actress's name was Haley Bird.
Well, good for her getting work.
Harley Bird, my sir.
Well, I'll tell you something.
She was funny.
I loved her. She was my favorite, you know, of all the little kids. She was absolutely my favorite. I wouldn't mind at all seeing any one of these little kids back again, you know.
Yeah.
Not like carrying a whole episode, but, you know, for a little bits and pieces here and there. Because, you know, it's cute. It's good to have these little characters. I mean,
it's good to have kids in a kid show.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Not all the time, but at least occasionally.
Yes, exactly.
When I was a kid and I wasn't doing anything nearly as impressive as actual television, but like, you know, community theater for children, and you get a part where your job is to fret about stupid stuff. What if she gets eaten by a tiger or what, you know, whatever. You're just like, oh gosh, how am I going to play this so that the adults don't giggle at me? I just think she did a really good job. Like, there are kids and they jump to conclusions and they worry about things that maybe they don't need to. And I think she did a good job.
She's cool. Not just kids. My wife does that all the time. What if we get hit by a comet?
I really liked the interplay of the kids dealing with their teacher and how the teachers dealt with the kids. I liked how the kids were portrayed, that this was a group of difficult students that have been shoved together, because that's what you do with a bunch of students who are difficult. Is clearly what you need to do is put all of those in one room and it'll work out fine.
If you stop calling us team.
Like Nancy said, it is kind of on the mess side. Like, there wasn't anything that completely, utterly wowed me, but I found it to be charming. I liked the cuts that they made. Like, there were these sudden cuts that, in a way, it kind of forced the perspective on of a kid's perspective. You know, like when the doctor realizes he hasn't asked Maeve her name, and there's that shot that's from the doctor's point of view, and you just see his hand come out and point at her face. and then later when the doctor, you know, is explaining things to the kids, there's this extreme close-up on his face.
Yeah.
You know, and he looks very big and imposing, and he's asking questions, and you're kind of like, you feel like you're kind of on the spot yourself.
Yeah, well.
You're like, I don't know the answer, just tell me. You're talking about solar flares, and I'm, you know, 12. That's how you feel when you're a kid, and some adult points at your face and asks you a question, you know, suddenly, and you're like, even if it's what is your name, you just kind of feel put on the spot.
You in conclusion, you enjoyed this one, right?
I did enjoy this one. Okay. I did, and I think it's one that I would watch again, and I think it's one that I would show other people, although if someone's like, show me a bunch of, you know, Doctor Who stories, this might be nestled in and among them. I would probably rate it a bit higher than Nancy.
Cool.
So
cool.
I'd give it somewhere around like a 7 or an 8.
Ah.
And remember the days, kids, when they would move into a jungle set or a forest set on Doctor Who, and it was very obvious that it was a forest set. Those days are well behind us.
Yeah. Maeve, the little girl with the red jacket, the main little girl. She was really well acted. She was good. Now, the reference to her sister at the beginning, it was so quick and so just sort of glossed over by the entire episode that when, you know, she made the little plea on the TARDIS, in the TARDIS, when she's like, you know, telling everybody not to burn anything. She made that little plea. I was like, what? Who come back? What? You know, and I didn't understand what
they
the
get
hell
mentioned
was.
Like 4 times.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They mentioned the sister several times.
Claire
talked about it. What? Danny
okay,
talked
can
about
somebody
it. They had a conversation
me,
with the doctor
can,
about it.
Can somebody tell me what the sister's name was?
They never said.
No, they did. And it was some other Irish name.
It was like something name. Like, I was like, what? I could not understand what the hell it was. And then at the end, the whole point I'm trying to make, it seemed incredibly disconnected, and it didn't even add anything to the episode to me at all. So, you know, what do you guys say about that?
Okay. So two things.
Uh-huh.
Two things.
Yes.
Lewis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you were not paying attention. Because they mentioned they had an extended conversation with the doctor about the sister being missing.
Oh, yep. The sister's name was Annabelle.
Annabelle, yeah.
Annabelle? That's what they were
like,
calling her?
They talked to the...
Yeah.
No, they just said her sister is missing. The kids mentioned it. Clara mentioned it. Danny mentioned it. They talked to the doctor about it, and that's why she was taking medication. Because
the girl herself mentioned it in her little plea.
Oh, right. That's why she was taking medication.
Right.
She was
because
taking medication
she was too stressed.
Because she was so stressed, and she started hearing voices. And the doctor explained that because she had lost someone, when you lose someone and you don't know where they've gone, you become hypersensitive and you start looking for them everywhere. Uh-huh. And so this little girl was already gifted in some way, and so because she was looking so hard for her sister, she started, you know, getting like dialed into the thoughts of other people, and so she started finding things that she wasn't looking for because she was looking for her sister so hard.
Wow.
And that's why she was the way it was.
I watched this once, and I didn't get that at all. I heard references to like somebody's missing, but like I just thought they were talking in general.
Were you doing something else when you watched the
episode? No, I was fucking watching the episode. And then like,
he has a hangover.
When the,
cut himself.
Well, yeah.
No, I do have a hangover. And
I
you
think
Lewis
needs
loud.
Medication.
Well, so, here's the thing. I was like, at the end, I was like going, okay, the bush disappears and here's this little, you know, teenage brat runaway. And I was like, uh-huh? What? Oh, that's her sister? Well, and I kept thinking... What did that even add to the fucking story? I mean, it was good enough for me to just simply know.
Ending.
It was a nice happy ending.
They needed
cool.
a happy. Well, that was where it really felt Sarah Jane-ish to me.
Yeah.
Sister.
Yeah.
That was when that idea hit me that, whoa, this should have been a Sarah Jane story.
Yeah. I just didn't feel like it.
I was hiding 10 feet away from my house the whole time.
I know.
In a bush.
for me, the thing that made it like the Sarah Jane Adventures was the staging. I love the Sarah Jane Adventures, and I think that everybody did a fantastic job. But sometimes the staging on Sarah Jane Adventures was rather awkward. Like when the first time the new girl across the street and Ronnie showed up, there was an episode about killer robot clowns. Luke and Ronnie stop in a hallway that's a cramped hallway full of malfunctioning killer robot clowns.
Yeah.
And they're like literally leaning up against one while it's twitching, and they stop and have a conversation in and among all these clowns. That's very, very awkward. Yes. And so the
sort
fact
of like being
that,
in a Juggalo convention, it was kind of weird.
So I'm sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent about that scene. But anyway, my point is that if I expected them to run towards each other and embrace or be happy or get or like actually move, but instead everybody stood in place and smiled at each other because clearly they weren't filming on the same day.
Not only that, clearly this was the end of the story.
Right.
And the director said, here's the last shot.
Yeah, and it was all just sort of very. Something happened. We filmed the scene and something happened and we couldn't get everybody together at the same time to do pickups. So we're just going to stage it like this and be done with it. It was just really awkward staging, I think.
So we got to see Missy again. Missy again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She seemed a little surprised at the ending of this particular episode. As much as a lot of people were.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it surprised. She said she was surprised, but I don't think that word means what she seems to think it means.
I like that Doctor Who is starting to include its own review of the episode in the episode. Cool.
So that's what Missy is. So let's talk about this. Nancy, your theory about Missy again. What do you think? Has it changed or staying the same or what?
I haven't a clue, and the preview for next week makes me think it's got everything but the kitchen sink, and I'm a little scared.
You're a little scared.
I'm a little scared.
So
the second part has the kitchen sink.
You go. So what do you think, Michelle? Who the hell's Missy?
I'm going to stick with my stupid fan theory that is wrong. That it's the Black Guardian. It's totally not the Black Guardian, you guys. It's probably something that we've never seen before, and that's fine. I was interested in where she said, well, that was surprising and I love surprises, but she really didn't look happy about how things turned out, and I'm not sure what it is she's not happy about. I don't know if she's not happy that nobody died, or if she's not happy that I don't know, but I did find it interesting when Maeve was saying that she heard voice telling her to go find the doctor. And she thought it was Miss, and I can't remember if at the beginning of the episode that she said specifically Miss Oswald or just Miss, and we assume that she's talking about Clara. But she kept saying that she thought that it was Miss.
Yeah.
Whose thought that she heard telling her to go find the doctor. Uh-huh. So that could be Clara or it could be Missy.
Could be Missy, yes.
And I don't know if there's any kind of, if that's ever going to come back and be called back on, or if I'm just overthinking things because they do call female teachers Miss, and that's fine.
Yes, right.
I'd like to point out that I said several episodes back that this isn't the real Clara.
Yes.
And it looks like I was right.
So you've got your stupid fan theory that is right.
Oh,
well, at least one aspect of it. I'm sure every other part of it is wrong. Ugh. But I will glorify and lord it all over everybody.
Of course you will.
And I got that one bit correct. The trailer certainly makes it seem as though Missy is somehow much more connected to Clara than we previously thought.
Yeah.
And that that also resonates a bit with me. I don't think she is Clara, but or the Clara's Valyard, I suppose you could say. Good Lord, what a horrible concept. But she clearly does have something, but there is something more going on there, and we are finally going to get some resolution on that. So that I'm looking forward to that, and anything that has Osgood in it makes me happy. So
yes.
Oh, interesting.
I'm looking forward to Dark Watch.
Well, I'm kind of thinking that
we knew that it was coming because during the 50th anniversary, Kate Stewart tells Clara that Clara has clearance from the last time she was there. And then Clara looks over and she sees a corkboard with a picture of her and Kate Oswald walking down a road that has not happened in that episode. So we knew that she was going to, that they were coming back.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
So.
Which also gives us a good indication that UNIT are going to be involved, which excites me no end.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
But what if, just as Clara managed to survive being thrown into the Doctor's own timeline, what if one shard of the Great Intelligence did? Oh, let's bring that character back.
Oh, there we go. That's a character I could.
She's something we haven't seen yet.
Probably.
Or she's the Black Guardian.
I hope she's something that we haven't seen yet.
She certainly does, now that I think about it, though. She certainly does behave a lot like the Great Intelligence, actually.
Well, I think she's just pissed. I think basically all of her troubles come from one thing only. She's not able to find a lipstick color that actually accents her face. Well, thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us and listening to us jabber on about Doctor Who, as we do, as we have a tendency to do. So I hope you guys join us next week when we talk about Dark Water is the episode for next weekend.
Part of the two-part finale.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty interesting. So
did I not detect a little bit of Osgood?
Yes, I did.
Yep, she was there.
We'll get something going on. And we've got a busy, busy schedule coming up soon for the Happiness Patrol. We're going to be this coming weekend, at least on the Saturday, Chaz and I will be at Hurricane Who here in Orlando.
Yay!
So that'll be fun. I think there may be some Saturday tickets left. If you can, go check it out. And it'll be fun. Then next weekend, we're going to be up in Long Island, or over in Long Island, or down in Long Island. Woo-hoo. Depends on where you're listening to this at. So so we'll be in Long Island for Long Island Who. So hopefully
The whole
hee-haw gang will have our overalls on and everything. Here's Buck. So
I have a sign that says BR549.
Yeah, you do that. It'll be great. Yeah, in Long Island. They'll love it. So, that'll be a lot of fun. So if you're going, make sure you come by and say hello to the Happiness Patrol. We'd love to talk to you and have a drink and that kind of stuff. Well, hey. We're open. We're open for that sort of stuff. You buy us a drink.
Especially if you're buying.
Yeah, if you're buying, we're
All right.
Hey, no problem whatsoever. So, we got to get on out of here. So, if you want to hear a little bit more of the Happiness Patrol, you can always follow us at our blog. Go check it out. All the episodes are there. Nancy, tell them what the blogspot is.
It is thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com.
And, Nancy, you can tell them that we're easily reached by email. Tell them the email.
the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com.
Are you doing that on purpose?
You a stewardess in a past?
I know. What the hell? So we're all.
Hey, I remembered it correctly.
Yes, you know? That's great. That was a test, Nancy. That was a test. So we're all over the Book of Face, and you can also follow us on Twitter. If you haven't already followed us on Twitter, go follow us on Twitter at the H Patrol. What else, Chaz? What else is there? Am I missing something, Chaz? Oh, you know what? You guys, make sure you go to our Facebook page and like us, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And we also have a little extra content available only on our Facebook page. It's not an actual podcast, but it is our little our homage to the 2-minute Time Lord, because we like that format so much. I thought, you know what? I'm going to have people, you know, tell the reviews of the latest episode and put it in a short 2 to 5 minute kind of format and let it go. And that's been really good so far. We've been having a lot of fun with that. It's called The Patrollers. The Patrollers, a Quentin Martin production.
That's right.
Wait, we're stepping back here. But yeah, that's only on our Facebook page. So go and like our Facebook page. You'll get The Patrollers every week. You can take a listen to that and tell us what you think. And it'll be great. It's all fun. It's all good. And who knows? Send us a little line saying, hey, you know what? I'd like to be a patroller. All you got to do is record it, tell us what you think, send it to our email address, and boom, you're a patroller. It's just that simple. It couldn't be any more simple now, could it, Michelle?
Nope.
No, I don't think so. So, anyway, we got to go. I've been jibber-jabbering too much, and we got to get. So, until next time, gang, as always, I am Lewis B.
I'm Nancy A.
I'm Michelle H.
And I'm Chaz M. And when I get stressed, I forget my anger management.
Oh, God, don't get any stress. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Happiness Patrol.
The Happiness Patrol patented mess scale.
Yeah. So
right
did
up there
you,
with our
I'm sure my cat is a Time Lord, because she tries to chase her tail and spins around so much, it almost, you can sort of almost feel time slowing down. So so she's working on it.
But when you look at the clock, you realize more time has passed than you thought.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
There you go.
There's some wibbly-wobbly stuff going
and
on.
And also, the other way that you can know that Cinnamon is a time lady is because she speaks cat.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's true.
She does speak cat. I forgot.
Ah, yeah, nice and quiet podcasting.
It's podcast.
No, because you can hear him going, nom, nom, nom.
He's having chocolate cake for breakfast.
And I didn't have to cook.
Yeah. It has eggs and wheat and
milk. Oh, goody. That's nutrition.
I'm kind of fresh out of kids that age now.
Yeah, you're fresh out of kids
yeah,
that age.
I got nothing for you, Lewis.
You got nothing. Mommy came home.
I always heard of people having a conniption, but I've never seen it. I don't want to see it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Happiness Patrol. You know, when I do that, I always go, hey, everybody.
Hey!
I'm sounding way too much
Woo-hoo!
HR puppets.
Everybody.
It's like Mayberry RFD. It's like Bill Floyd's barbershop.
Hello and welcome.
I feel like all of the outtakes at the end of every episode is me at least once telling you to never do something again.
Well, it will be now. I'm so hungover.
Don't I?
I'll try not to.
Don't cough up a lung.
I'll try not to.
But I don't
love
know.
Monsters. I was right. It's the Dilly Sisters.
Oh, that's right.
Ta-da-da boom de ta-da-da boom de
I should mention, you can throw this in there
God
or
damn
just
that's a funny
start
joke,
it, but
you guys.
I will mention this. That is not surprising me today.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very hungover, my friend. That whole
you've been spending too much time with Cinnamon because you are a catty.
Oh, God. She started touching me, and I didn't know what the hell was going on.
That would be your cat.
That's my kitty.
Please put that line in the outtake.
Okay. Yes.
Just for the audience out there. This is cat.
So, I love the women on the Happiness Patrol.
I got 99 problems, and 87 of them is a bunch of bullshit that I completely made up in my
life. Right.
Right.
Edit point.
Oh, really?
No.